Hi there.
This is not another advertisement inviting you to a church where it doesn't matter how you dress or what kind of shoes you have on or promising you'll be home before kickoff, and that our church is totally different and you will be comfortable without any pressure regarding religion. Listen, none of that really matters. The question is, does your life need to change?
Sunday morning, 11 a.m., 5833 4th Street in Lubbock, Rock City, a place for the soul.
RockCityLubbock.com.
Red Horse Radio.
Welcome, welcome.
This is your daily drive time gut check. Brought to you by Pastor Jeff McWright of Rock City. 5833 4th Street, Lubbock. We're Red Horse Radio.
We've got the next 30 minutes, so brace yourself and let's get to it.
I am sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you to safety. And so the first promise that God gives us, if we'll celebrate Passover, if we'll celebrate salvation today, but we celebrate it every day, he says that he will dispatch an angel just for you. Now that's a promise you need to take serious. I'm thankful that Bradley Walden had more than doctors around him in the past few weeks. He had an angel by him. And maybe four or five compared to what he was going through. God probably had to send some extras. He went through it could have been a tragic result of his health, because when they go in there to do certain things with surgical procedure, if anything went wrong, he could have died. And so I believe in the promise of God that Bradley Walden was protected. I believe that. And I believe he's going to be protected here on out. I'm not worried about that because I know Bradley and his family thank God for their salvation. That's a promise, Bradley. Don't ever forget that. Everything you feel and every appointment you have to go, whatever they want you to go do, you go do it. But understand, you're not walking in there by yourself. You've got an angel that's more capable to do anything that needs to be done because of the promise of God. That's how you apply this stuff to your life. Too many of us go into problems and we feel all alone. You should never feel alone. Name your angel. Get a picture of your angel. Just imagine what he's like or she. I just picture my angel as a badass. I'm just like... I do, man. I just believe that this dude walks in and people are like, oh, whatever they were going to do to me, they don't want to do anymore. Can't you have that kind of faith? Hey, that's how I feel when I go into elements, you know, environments where people, you know, you need to know somebody. I've been in situations. I was in Denver, Colorado years ago with a friend of mine that was on the Denver Broncos team. And I mean, I was the smallest man in the whole hotel. I mean, these brothers, this is preseason, and all these many more guys than just the team, because there was all these guys trying to make the team, and they're all in there, and they're walking everywhere you turn. There's these giant guys. You get on the elevator, and just like, whoa. But you know what? I was not intimidated to be around any of those guys, because I was with one of them. You understand what I'm saying? I was with a player. And anywhere he wanted to go and he wanted me to go, I went with him, and I wasn't ashamed of anything. And there was a few times I was by myself and somebody would look at me kind of strange, like those security people. Y'all know who those security people are, right? I don't like security people. They always act like they know more about things than you. And I had a couple of times these security people would walk over to me and it's like, excuse me, what are you doing here? And I looked around, but my angel wasn't there. I'm with him, and they're like, there's nobody there. And I remember, you know, initially feeling a little bit intimidated. And then I would say, well, actually, I'm with the team. You work for the Broncos? No, I don't have to work for them. They invited me. I'm their special guest. No, I didn't say that. No, I said, I'm with Anthony Lynn. He's a running back for the Denver Broncos. And every time those security guards would say, oh, we are so sorry. Make yourself at home. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? If I can do that with the 6'3", 230-something pound running back, graduated from Texas Tech and went on to play professional football, how much more? Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? How much more when I come against these forces in life that try to question me as to who I am and what I'm expecting to get out of life and all that, how much more should I have the confidence to look at those spirits and say, hey, I'm with the team. I'm with your star player, by the way. I'm with one Jesus Christ. Draw my blood if you need to. I can prove this. But man, we cower down to pressures in life. And oh, I just don't know if we're going to make it. I just don't know what we're going to do now. The second promise, he said, he would become an enemy to your enemies. Y'all don't get that. There's no way you can get that because you just sit there and like, Almighty God? Now, I want you to just be human for a minute, all right? Don't say anything. I just want you to think a human thought. Who is your big enemy right now? Who is it? Who's your number one enemy? Now, it could be a spiritual thing. Maybe alcohol is your number one enemy. Maybe, you know, some kind of temptation is your number one enemy. Or maybe somebody physical is. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about their chances to defeat Almighty God? Do they stand a chance? Because in my mind, there's nobody that's opposing me right now has a chance against Almighty God. And God promises me if I'll honor these three celebrations, he promises me that he will become an enemy to my enemy. Now understand that he only is doing that because of me. Maybe he used to love the person, but because of me, he don't love them anymore. So when he goes up to annihilate them, they're like, hey, God, how are you doing? Good to see you again. He's like, this isn't going to be good. I've changed on you. Because now, because my son or my daughter over here is honoring these three festivals, they're thankful for their salvation. They're honoring the cross. They are thankful that I'm the one that gives them the power to do whatever they do, and they're thankful for everything they have. And then they also finally, they know without God, they could have nothing. I've changed on you, and I'm not here to bless you. In fact, get out in the yard. I don't want to get blood on your mama's couch. You know? That's what he said. I will become an enemy to your enemies. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, not us. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against them. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, think about joy being an asset of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say you become joyful in the morning because thank God the night's gone. He doesn't say that. He says weeping endures for a night, but joy arrives in the morning. You do have to endure it, like Romans said. You got to go through this for character to be developed. But I'm promising you people, if you don't quit in a short while, you're the enemy of your enemy is going to show up. And then you just get to put a big cheese-eating smile on your face and watch him kick butt.
Red Horse Radio.
Hi, my name is Jeff McCride, and I am the senior pastor of Rock City right here in Lubbock, Texas. I would like to personally invite each of you to attend worship with us on Sunday. Each week, we strive to create an environment where people from all walks of life can experience the presence of God. This is when the Spirit in you connects to the Holy Spirit, and good things happen.
The messages of Rock City are geared to empower the believer with the knowledge of the Bible. The ultimate goal of our worship events is to equip us all to engage the culture that we live in for the purpose of reformation into the model of the kingdom of God. Good people worshiping a great God, world-class music, and a state-of-the-art auditorium, this all makes for a great Sunday morning. Join us this week, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock at 5833 4th Street. That's Rock City. Maybe it's time you start living life to the power of E3.
Red Wharf Radio.
Here's Pastor Jeff.
Number three, he said, God said he would bless our food and our water. This is all right here to promise. If you'll just celebrate these Passover, these celebrations. I will bless your food and water, verse 25. I will bless your food and water, and I will protect you from illness. That's why it's important to pray before you eat. And you know what you ought to pray after today? You ought to say, Father, I thank you for the promise that you remove anything infectious or anything impure from the food that we're about to eat. And if you eat menudo, baby, you better. Y'all need to fast. Pray, intercede, stroke the hair of a goat or something. I mean, you're going to put that stuff in your body. You need some help. Pray about it. God, I thank you that you have blessed this food. You have blessed this food. Our children aren't going to get sick from this stuff. Amen. Our children are going to be healthy because of the promise that you give us. He would bless our food and our water. The fourth promise that God gives us from this, he says, the Bible says God will remove sickness from the midst of you. Sickness. Now, this is a promise in the Word of God. And you say, well, it's old covenant. Tell me one part of the new covenant that's worse than the old. Why do people believe that? That God would slack on the second round? And there's a lot of people that believe that. They believe that the days of miracles are over. You can't really expect healing anymore. I'm like, why would God ever get weaker? That's against the character of God, that he would get weaker. The closer you get to him, you find out he can't really do all that stuff really anymore. What, you lost your power? He's not an aging old man. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He never ages. So he promises us that he would remove. He didn't say you wouldn't get sick. He said he would remove sickness from you. So if you ever did get sick, he'll take that sickness away. The fifth promise, God said he would give us or give them long life. It's a promise we're claiming for Brent. It's a promise. A lot longer life than what he was going to get. And I believe without the miracle timing of God, he would have probably died at home. He would have probably died at home. Gilbert Garcia would have died probably in a gymnasium. Bradley would have died on an OR table. Are y'all understanding? And God knows when the rest of us would have died. Some of y'all would have died in last Sunday's message because I preached too long and you thought you're going to die of old age right here. You heard the pastor look down the front row. One of his elders was standing there and didn't have a clean shaven face. And he said, Brother Jones, he said, how come you didn't shave this morning? Brother Jones said, I did. It's been a while ago. God would give them long life. Your vine will not cast its fruit before its time. It's a promise. And number six, God would bring increase and inheritance. It's all in Exodus 23. God would bring increase to them and an inheritance. Those two together make for a good life. You can get increase and you can blow it, but an inheritance speaks of greater value, and a lot of times it's residual. I'll bring you increase and inheritance. And the final one, number seven, God would restore all they had lost. Come on, man. They would be restored back to having their own land, just as they did before they went into Egypt. See, they had their own land. They had their own place. They went into Egypt because their place was in famine and they couldn't sustain life there. And God said, I'm going to restore all of that. And you're going to have your own land. You will be your own people. John, the 6th chapter. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover. And Jesus saw a huge crowd coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, where can we buy bread to feed all of these people? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed these people. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, there's a boy over here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd, upwards of 20,000 people? Tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God. What's he celebrating? What's he celebrating? He's celebrating the Pentecost. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us this. Are you understanding that? And John was mindful enough to record, boy, it's almost Passover. That's the first one. And then Jesus gives thanks for the bread. He's celebrating the harvest. He took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. And everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples. Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he's the prophet we have been expecting. Think about it. Celebrations. Well, it's almost harvest. It's almost Passover. Thank you so much for this increase. No wonder he could do miracles. He had the blessings of God on him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He was a human being. Jesus was a human being. I don't have time to go into the proof of this, but Jesus Christ was a Holy Spirit-filled human being, exactly like you and I live. Exactly like you and I live. Everybody says, well, he had a divine edge. No, he had no more of a divine edge than you and I have. If you remember when he got baptized, he laid down his deity because he associated with sinners in the Jordan River with John. John baptized sinners, and when Jesus walked into the Jordan River, he made fellowship with sinners. And when he got baptized, John didn't want to baptize him, and Jesus said, no, we have to do this. Listen, he said, we must do this to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, I can't live on the next 3 years doing all these miraculous exploits as God. I've got to lay my deity down. That's why he had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Y'all remember the story? When he got baptized, he came up. The Bible says the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Why would the Holy Spirit have to descend on God? He is the Holy Spirit. I mean, I know your mind's on eggs and rabbits right now. Can we just trudge a little deep in the Word of God today? Jesus Christ did every miracle he ever did as a Holy Spirit-filled man exactly like you and I. That's why he said, greater things than this will you do because I go to the Father, because then my spirit can be in all of you. Right now, I'm the only human being that occupies this power. I'm the only human being that gets this blessing of the Holy Spirit. But when I leave and I send my spirit back, every one of you can have it. One man can do something, but 300 people can do a lot more. Amen? Let me tell you something. You may not feel too strong today, but listen, 300 children can lift more than the strongest man in this room. Don't worry about your maturity at this point. Serve God. God would restore all that had been lost. You get your land back. You get your inheritance back, everything that's been squandered through sin. And all this comes to us. Romans 10 and 9 says, if you just believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, you get all of that. So the question is, are we living it? I mean, are you really living that? For hundreds of years, it was passed over. But ladies and gentlemen, the new covenant is a better deal. Now we're not just passed over. God doesn't just have to keep covering his eyes when he looks at us. He actually has carried us over the line from unrighteousness to righteousness. We are authentic sons of God. We're not just good performers. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We're not just good performers. We are authentic sons and daughters of God. Would you stand? You know, Peter, after all of this happened in the new covenant, Peter was going to be killed by Herod. This is in Acts, the 12th chapter. They were going to kill Peter. They eventually did, but God extended his life a little while. And the only reason that Herod didn't have him executed because it was Passover. Think about that. There's a lot of lesson right there. Peter was going to die had it not been for Passover. The wages of sin is death. You and I were going to die had it not been for Passover. This is what we celebrate, man. This is the iconic aspect of Christianity. No great leader has indicated to his people that his death would purge their record with God or a God. That's ours only. That is ours only. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that he raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, preachers say a lot different, but the Bible says you just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe that he was the Son of God and you believe God raised him from the dead and you're going to be saved. Now, when you believe that, of course you think about your own sin. Of course you think about your own inability to please God. But the focus is not on my actions. The focus is on him and his actions. Focus on him as you live your life. Stop focusing on you and your record. The record has been expunged, but it's not just an ongoing thing you got to come back every Sunday to do. It finally got to where the principal payment was made. Now God saw the cross in real time. All the other decades and all the other generations, he had to see the cross behind time. And so many people died in their sins, and I'm sure that every time somebody died, God would look at the cross in real time because he's everywhere at all times. Y'all listen to what I'm telling you. I believe every time somebody died in their sin, I believe God in his mind, he would look at that cross. And the angels would probably look at the cross in real time and just say, they just lived too early. They would be able to be righteous if they were here. But every sign in life always, you know, the maps we see, you'll find that you are here. You know what? And when it comes to righteousness, the sign always says you are not here. You are not here. You're not righteous enough. You're not godly enough. You're not good enough. And all of heaven for millennia before the cross would look and they would just say, if only they could live now. But finally, now became. And the Bible says, in the fullness of time, In the fullness of time, God gave his only son. And I can't imagine the joy in the heart of God and the days preceding the cross. It's getting close. It's getting close. In the hours preceding it, God finally knew no one else is going to die until I see the cross in real time. That's the way we need to live, y'all, in real time. When you face these issues in your life, you need to speak in the present tense. I'm crucified with Christ. I am dead, but nevertheless I live, but the life I live is not my life. It's in Christ. And Christ doesn't give in to temptation. Christ doesn't give in to fear. Every time he showed up to people, it was fear not. Don't fear. And I got convicted of this in my own life, just battling some thoughts. And I was like, Jesus would not think this thought. And so I'm not thinking it anymore. Jesus would not live under this pressure. And so I'm not living it under it anymore. If he don't have to do it, neither do I. But if he gets to do it, so do I. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? You need to see the cross like God sees it in real time. It has been finished. It has been accomplished. And we celebrate it. And we get blessed. Seven ways. If you just claim them. You just claim them. Now make application. You have to make application to your life, or this doesn't work. You have to believe. I have to believe. This is effective. It really works. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life I live is not by my own power. It's by one Jesus Christ. Christ lives in me.
Red Horse Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Red Horse Radio. Log on to rockcitylubbock.com and give me some feedback on the show. I hope you join our daily listening team and tune in each week at 5:30 in the afternoon. If you would like to support Red Horse Radio financially, you can do that on the Rock City website.
There it is. Red Horse Radio. We'll be here every weekday afternoon at 5:30. Red Horse Radio is brought to you by Pastor Jeff McWright with Rock City, 5833 4th Street in Lubbock, Texas. Come join us at 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. And find us on the web at rockcitylubbock.com. And remember, be here next time for Red Horse Radio.